Yes, today, once again, I'm joined by San Antonio Spurs writer Jeff Garcia. Jeff, what's going on?
Busy, and it's all for the wrong reasons, and probably a little bit of the right reasons, too, but yeah, I thought also they're supposed to be tanking, John. I thought,
I know. I was going to ask you, y'all going for Wembanyama, or y'all, what's y'all doing? You going for the play-in, what's y'all doing over there?
Look, I've been very clear about this on the record at Lockdown Spurs Day, and I think the Spurs should tank. But they're not listening to Lockdown Spurs. So it looks like this team wants to win. And look, Devin Vassell said it during the offseason, like right before the regular season started. He went on his IG and said, stop talking to me about Wembanyama and tanking. So they want to win, John. And they're showing that. Now, look, is it early? Yes. We're just, like, as of this recording, 7 games into the new season. So you got to put that into perspective.
Yeah.
And we saw this last year, too. And people forget the Spurs came out of the gates hot. For those who don't remember, the Spurs went to the Bucks gym, beat the defending champs in their gym. They then took a trip to Los Angeles. They beat the Lakers. They beat the Clippers. They were beating some of the heavy hitters in the NBA to start the first month. Then things came crashing down, and it got worse. So we'll see if things kind of normalize as the season goes on.
Yeah, it's been like a roller coaster for San Antonio. It's just a pretty much situation. We don't know about the situation in Boston. Unlike Boston, the Spurs got out in front of the situation very quickly and handled it very well. If it came as a surprise to everyone, he still has a great talent, but some issues have to be resolved. What was your first reaction when you heard about the news?
Disbelief. I actually thought it was a joke or somebody hacked into my email and just made a fake email. I didn't believe it.
Right.
And I was... I was seconds away from emailing my contacts with the franchise and asking them, is this for real? But when they doubled down and then they promoted it, but they released it in a different format.
Right.
This is real. And so my first thought was, this is something off the court because they had invested so much into him.
Right.
If you drive everywhere in San Antonio right now, his face is plastered on billboards. His face is plastered all over Austin, Texas right now because he's the face of one of the Spurs partners. Well, he was. So for the Spurs to then, draft him at number 12, first-round pick, Brian Wright, the GM, saying we're going to let him develop on his own terms. He's our guy. He's part of our rebuild. And then for them just to part ways with him so fast the way they did, it was bigger than basketball.
Right.
So, sure enough, reported by Athletic and ESPN that he was exposing himself to multiple women. One of the women was the Spurs staffer, former Spurs staffer.
Right.
And then a big reason why John and I, got a little delayed on his show was because he and I were supposed to record earlier, but, sure enough, some news pops up and interferes with John and me getting it done. But the latest is a Tony Busby, the attorney who's representing the Spurs, or former Spurs staffer.
Right.
Same one with the Deshaun Watson situation. Yeah. They're going to be doing a press conference this Thursday in Houston, and she's going to talk to the public, take questions about what she allegedly is saying about the former Spur. The big thing now is, do the Spurs know? When did they know? Were they lied? Because if that comes out, that's not a good look. Because the last thing this team needs is the same thing happened with the Mavericks. There was some stuff with the female staff. The Phoenix Suns. This is a Spurs team that can't afford that right now. Smaller market.
Right.
So we'll see how things shake out, but off the court, it's been busy with the Primo situation. And again, that is just so – I am still in disbelief because, you're just talking to me right now. I don't think I've ever seen something like this from the Spurs in franchise. The closest was back in the mid-'80s with the Allen Robinson situation.
Right.
When there was some really serious – allegations about him, and it came out to be true, unfortunately, what he did off the court with young women. But I mean, the closest in recent memory, Kawhi Leonard, but at least the Kawhi Leonard thing wasn't to this level. It was just about basketball and where he wants to play, and that's it, you know? So it kind of puts things in perspective. So this is a bad thing because this is supposed to be kind of the Spurs franchise's spring, you know, planting new seeds, rebuilding, new fertile ground. Right. Are we going to tank for Wimby or are we not? We're going to develop these kids. Well, they're developing, and now they're going to have this dark cloud hanging right. over them the whole season because should it get to the point where there's depositions and lawsuits filed,
yeah,
you might see a different side of the Spurs once those become public.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation. He's only 19 years old.
Yeah.
He's so owed $8 million by the Spurs, but depending on how this works out, it might not see any of that. Like, it's crazy. It's a crazy situation. Definitely.
Yeah.
On the court, though, bright lights shining very brightly. And Keldon Johnson, 23 points a game. He's going to work for y'all.
Yes. And it's beyond just him. Now, look, he's obviously, you know, leading the charge here. But he himself would say he's not the head of the snake. He says collectively they are. And that's one thing you've been hearing from this team since late preseason, now into the regular season. From Zach Collins to Keldon to Devin, they're all saying one thing, is that they understand that this team doesn't have a megastar. They get that. Zach Collins said that recently. Say, we don't have a guy we can dump the ball into and say they take over. We don't have that.
Right.
They have to do it by the collective. And you're seeing it in the numbers. They lead the team. They lead the league in assists per game, nearly over 31 a game. 31 assists a game. They're sharing the ball. They're buying into the team system. Other little things, too, is they're showing hustle and spirit. You take Trey Jones, for example, who, by the way, I recommend everybody who's listening to this phenomenal show to go on Basketball Reference and look what Trey Jones is doing this season. And mind you, this is a second-round pick the Spurs got. He has been playing like gangbusters.
Right.
You're going to be like, well, you know, I don't see him, you know, in leading scorers of the league. Just look at his stat line and tell me you do not want that out of your starting point guard, let alone a second-round pick. He's been playing great. Devin Vassell, unfortunately, he got banged up, left knee. But after a bad, bad start to the season, you know, multiple games, 20-point outings, collectively they're good. And even Jakob Poeltl, just when I thought Jakob cannot find a different level to take his game to, because at this point, John, I was like, whoa, Jakob is Jakob. That's who you're going to get.
Yeah.
He's tied for the third best assist man on the Spurs team. So he's finding the guy. So that should tell you exactly what this team is buying into, the team concept, the energy, the competitiveness. And going back to Trey Jones, brace yourself, everybody. Popovich compared him to Manu Ginobili already.
Wow, that's a great compliment.
Yep.
Huge compliment.
So they're an exciting team. You know, I know they're not on national TV. I think they only got like one this year on the ESPN game. But if you get a chance, watch this young team and look at just a bunch of kids, because that's what they are, mid-20s and below for the most part. You got your veterans here, your Doug McDermott, your Josh Richardson. But for the most part, bunch of 24 and under kids just balling out. It was to the point, John, that Popovich joked. In the last win against Minnesota, he said, I just don't think they're realizing they're not supposed to win. Like, they're just going out there, oh, we're not supposed to do this? Like, you know, they're just, like, falling into it. So, but, yeah, on the court, it's exciting to see these kids develop, dare I say, ahead of schedule in this rebuild.
Yeah, that's what's one of the most impressive things about this run. That they're so young, and they're, like you said, there's no clear-cut talent on the roster, and they're playing as one.
They are playing as one, so, yeah, and we're going back to Keldon Johnson, what he had to say. He said that he trusts everybody. He said he goes to everybody and says, if I don't have a shot, you could take the shot. I trust in you. You could trust in him, and, you know, because that's what they got to do. They don't have that megastar. They don't have that Luka Doncic. They don't have the Joker. You know, they don't have a KD. They just have themselves, and we'll see how this shakes out. You know, maybe things shake out and, you know, everything right now is topsy-turvy in the NBA. You got Spurs, Utah winning when they're not supposed to. You got the Lakers failing, the Nets failing.
Yeah.
So everything's kind of flipped upside down. But we've seen this before in the NBA. We've seen things kind of start off weird and then things kind of normalize, which would be great for those Spurs fans that are on Team Tank. Team Tank is hurting right now. That tank is probably held up with scotch tape and staples right now because it's falling apart right now. But all in all, it's been a fun start to the season. If development was on the checklist, and which it was, then you could check that off because they're passing with flying colors.
Yeah, definitely. One thing working in Spurs' favor is that a lot of teams brought back healthy players and they had any time to implement them back in. And it's obvious of like Golden State, they brought back Wiseman, the Clippers still trying to get their things together. Kawhi is having more issues with his knee. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on with that right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, as long as this happens, as long as this keeps up the rest of the season, like it will, everybody beat up on each other, that plays into the Spurs' favor, especially with the play-in. And they get into the playoffs, it might surprise some people because they're young and they're fast. A lot of teams can't keep up with quick guards at all. So they could make some noise.
Yeah. You know, there's a part of me. I mean, I'm so divided right now because I see the prize at the end of the tunnel, which is Wimby or Scoot Henderson. But then at the same time, you're enjoying the ride. You like to see them win. They're competitive. John, they went to the Minnesota Timberwolves gym and were beating them by 35 points.
Yeah.
They took down a Chicago Bulls team led by DeMar DeRozan, who was just torching them. And mind you, they beat the Bulls without Devin Vassell, without rookie Jeremy Sohan, without Josh Richardson. They lost mid-game their young promising guard, Blake Wesley, to a MCL tear.
Right.
And they still beat the Bulls. So they got fight, man. This is a team that got so much fight in them.
And their upcoming schedule is a real test. Next eight games are crazy. So that fast start is going to come in handy. We can come out of these next few games like 500 or above, especially above water, making number one. What would that see?
Well, we'll definitely see. And I think teams are going to have to start maybe planning for them a little bit. You know, they can't just roll the ball out and think like, it's just Spurs, we got them. Who is this team? No, I think this is a team that is having their time to shine. And the reins have been turned over now to Kelden since DeJounte was traded to Atlanta. And DeJounte, you know, the offense ran through him, so he was very ball dominant. Now they have to share. They have to lean on each other. We went to the stats for the assists per game, your minimal turnovers. They're making very few mistakes on the court. You got Zach Collins in their first win after losing to the Hornets in the opening night by a lot coming out. And one of the first things he says is, that wasn't us. Like, I don't know who that team was that came out against the Hornets. But, you know, that's not us. So they're competitive. Doug McDermott, a guy who's played on 5-6 teams in his NBA career, he comes out and says, this is the most fun he's had in his NBA career playing with his Spurs team. So I think for Spurs fans that are loving this, ride it not right now because once these other teams get going and get settled in, you know, maybe the Spurs could be on the wrong end of the scoreboard soon.
Right. And their performance is a direct representation from Greg Popovich. So I mean, shout out to him. So he don't want to go away.
maybe it doesn't want to go out like this. But, yeah, all in all, a great start to this first season.
Definitely. Thanks so much for your time, Jeff. Always a pleasure, man.
Anytime, John, anytime.
Thanks for your time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that was Jeff Garcia, Spurs analyst. Thanks for joining me. Catch you next time.